Today we're going to be talking about water baptism. We're going to do a baptism here in the next several weeks here at the church. And I want to share a little bit about it. Different people kind of maybe believe just a little bit differently. And the title of my message is, Should I Be Water Baptized? You know, and we need to kind of sort that out. I know there's different reasons some churches have for baptism. We're going to maybe try to unravel some of that. I mean, I know of a church that if you were a Christian and then you started attending their church, they believe you need to be re-water baptized to be baptized, you know, into their kind of deal. So I don't believe that way. So we're going to discuss that a little bit and kind of share and a little bit about water baptism. If you've never been baptized by immersion, that's what we practice. We believe that's the biblical method, and we're going to go into that a little bit. So, like I shared, you know, we're going to unravel some of the mystery surrounding water baptism. You know, what spiritual thing can happen in your life just by being dipped underwater? You know, if you really think about it, you know, a lot of the stuff we do is symbolic and things like that. To me, water baptism can be both a connect and a release point. You know, it's a very spiritual thing, you know, when we get water baptized. You know, it's a place of identification, and it's a place where we can release our faith, you know, when we step up and do that. So also, what I believe is that water baptism can also close the back door of our life to the devil, because he tries to sneak in, and we're going to cover that a little bit. So water baptism is more than a ritual or a rite of passage. Water baptism was a God idea, and we need to follow the example that our Lord Jesus Christ has set for us. So we're going to explore this together. We're going to look at a couple passages. First one I want to look at today is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Those of you who are wanting to be baptized, I encourage you to write these things down or type them in your phone. Maybe you've got a photographic memory. Maybe you know the whole Bible by heart. Praise God for you. Amen. I'm not that person. I know quite a bit, but I don't know it all. You know, in Bible school, I remember a lot of things, but this is one of the greatest things I remember, is that the shortest pencil is better than the longest memory. You know what I mean? So it's good to write things down. You'll find out if you write them down, you'll get them in your heart and your mind a little bit better. So, amen. Maybe I should announce that last week, you reckon? I don't know. Somebody's like, well, give me a pencil, give me paper. No, it's okay if you don't. Just type them in your phone. You can look at this again online if you want. So, Acts 2:38 says, Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for supernatural unction to take place here. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you're the teacher. And Lord, right now, I just want to yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate and bind up the devil trying to steal any word out of our hearts in any way, shape, or form. And we thank you for the opportunity you've given us here to come to this place to worship you freely, as we can lift our hands, and we can bow our knee. But most of all, Lord, we bow our heart to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what is water baptism is my first point. And first I'm going to say what water baptism is not. Sometimes that'll kind of sort out some of the things. It's not a ritual where we go through that just emotions. You know, a lot of times in church, some churches stress water baptism a lot. I mean, as you can probably tell, we probably don't as much as maybe we should. But for the most part, some people think that's the silver or the secret sauce or the silver bullet. But it's really not, and we're going to go into that a little bit. So it's not just a ritual where we go through the motions that you are baptized into this church. You know, we're a non-denominational church. Some denominations have different views of this. We're going to look at a little bit of it. And it's not just a rite of passage where that we just go to this church and we're automatically going to get water baptized. I mean, so it's not just that kind of thing either. Now, it started, you know, technically, as we know, Jesus Christ himself was baptized. You know, he was baptized by John the Baptist, and that's how he got the name, I guess. I don't know. He's a baptizer. So, yeah, that was his job. He liked to baptize people. But anyway, so the early church, how they looked at it is different than our culture. Because when you were baptized back in those days, it meant you were leaving maybe your old religion, and now you're being joined into this next one. So it's a big decision. You know, as you look at the early church, a lot of the Christians, many of them were Jews starting out, and when they left Judaism and came into Christianity, they left all their the net that they had in life, because the temple was a place where the poor was helped, and if things were going on, they all helped each other. And when you walked away from that safety net, now you're out there alone with just Jesus, you know? And it was a different thing, so it's kind of a big step when you do that. Now, the word baptize in the Greek, you know, some people sprinkle, I'm not criticizing, but, you know, the word baptizo talks about to dip or submerge. It's talking about like taking a ladle. I mean, we used to have that out on a farm. We had an old ladle, and we had a bucket out there, and when we was working, we just dipped down that ladle in the bucket, and that water just came from a well. It was right next to a cattle lot. I mean, we're tough out there, you know what I mean? Out west of La Villa, you know, you just think about what you drank as a kid, and you're still here. So, but anyway, you dip that ladle down in that, and then you take your drink. And you would drink after each other. I mean, no cooties or nothing back then. I don't know where cooties came from, all that stuff. But anyway, so that's what it means, is to dip or submerge. So, and there's a reason for that, and we're going to go into that a little later here. So to me, water baptism reserved for people who have repented of their sins and have chosen to follow Christ. And what happens is it's an outward sign of an inward work. Now, you should really be born again Christian before you're water baptized, because if not, it won't mean anything to you. It's just the tradition or a ritual, you know, just like, same way with communion. We have in the church, we believe that two things are ordinances that we follow is water baptism and we take communion. Now, neither of those, and we're going to look at this, we're not going to look at communion today, but you do not have to partake of communion to be saved. It's not going to save you, but you should not take communion unless you're saved. Right. And also the same way with water baptism. And we're going to look at how the Apostle Paul did it. But, you know, the idea of it is that we want to try to follow the biblical pattern the best that we can, you know. And to me, as we follow the Bible the best that we can, I believe we're going to walk in a greater blessing. So how we do it, and many churches are similar to this, is we dedicate babies, we don't baptize them, okay? Matthew 19:13 says, children were brought to Jesus, and he laid hands on them and prayed for them, a blessing and dedication to God. So that's what we do, and we've done it here several times. Many of you have seen it. The happy couple comes up, and they bring their baby, and then we lay hands on them and bless that baby. We pray that God will watch over that baby, and this happy couple and their surrounding family is going to help raise that baby in the things of God. That's the biblical pattern. That's what Jesus did. That's how it worked for him. See, infant baptism started around the 400s, and the church viewed baptism as being brought into the body of Christ, and they wanted to bring the babies in. Good thinking, but it don't really work that way. Because the Bible says, believe and be baptized. Little babies can't believe yet, right? So what was happening is that infant mortality was so high that they had this idea, and it is a good idea, that they felt that, you know, if I baptize my baby, get it baptized by the church, that baby is in the church, it's saved. And then when they're later, they can make that commitment themselves. And also, back then, the pagans, a lot of heathen, they would steal babies for occult practices, and they'd, you know, kill the babies and things like this. So that's another reason why they wanted to get the babies baptized. And the truth is, it doesn't really work that way. Now, my belief, and a lot of people believe that way, is that babies are automatically, you know, not separated technically from God if they die before they come to the age of accountability. That's a God question. I believe we serve a merciful God. And if a baby is found in kind of first or second chapter of Romans, it kind of alludes to that. Then also there's a passage of in the Old Testament where one of the king's sons died. And it was, you know, God kind of made the statement that he hadn't, you know, God took him so he wouldn't become evil. You know, so you can kind of read into that. You know, basically, I believe God's loving God and he'll deal with babies right way. Amen. You know, but we're not talking about babies totally right now. We're talking to kids that come to the age of accountability. You can kind of tell when your kids come to the age of accountability. You can tell when your kid's a sinner, right? And you parents, you can kind of tell, you know? You can tell when they become a sinner and they know they've done something wrong. And that's kind of the ones that we're kind of looking at here. And I was raised Methodist as a little kid a little bit, and I was baptized as a baby. technically, I think my parents did it as an exorcism, you know, because I was kind of, I was kind of a bad baby, I guess. I don't know from what I hear, but I don't know. But then what happened to me is the fact that I got saved. I got saved in the 80s, you know. Some of the 70s and 80s were a little bit of a blur, but when I got saved, man, everything cleared up. And then I was water baptized. And I still remember that night to this day. It was very special to me. Not that it was make any difference, but R.W. Schombach, if any of you have heard of him, he's a old tent Pentecostal, just hardcore preacher. He was preaching at our church that night on Saturday night, or Sunday night, and that we did the baptism right before service. And there, our auditorium was just full of people, and I got to stand up in the water there and testify and say why I gave my life to Jesus Christ. That's powerful. That meant a lot to me. And then, you know, just the fact that I followed in obedience, and it's important. So how do we deal with children? You know, that's the question somewhat. You know, I usually suggest that children, you know, become, you know, so they can understand it, because they won't remember it if they're too little. I threw an age out at 12 years old. Jesus preached in the temple when he was 12. I'm not totally strict on that. I do know that a lot of people have come up to me and said, I was baptized as a child, but I didn't really understand it, and asked if it could be rebaptized. And I don't have a problem with baptizing people again. Some might. To me, it's just a point of release of your faith. If you feel you need that, that's fine. I'm not going to, you know, stand in the way between you or God. And if you're a parent here and your kid's 4 years old and you say they know Jesus, and I'm not going to, you know, say they can't be baptized, that's between you and them. But I would say it would be better if your child could understand everything that they're doing. Because it's not a ritual. It's not a tradition. It's something that we do. It's a spiritual thing. And it's important that we be able to release our faith and how that all works. So do we have to be water baptized to be saved? Now, some may believe that you do, but Paul, to me, was one of the greatest preachers and teachers in the Bible, and I really, you know, like his teaching. And here's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11 to 17. It says, "For I have been informed concerning you, my brethren, by Chloe's people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, I have Apollos, I am of Cephas, or I have Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none except you, Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say that you were baptized in my name. Now I did baptize the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, verse 17, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void." I feel like praying again, but I'm not going to. That's just some great revelation there. It just tells us what can happen in a church and how some of the misunderstandings sort of take place. To me, Paul was one of the greatest architects of the church. The Bible kind of talks, he even mentioned being a wise master builder and how he built the church, and God used him that way. And see, what happened here is that the Corinthians were identifying more with who they were baptized by rather than what they were baptized into. And see, that's a sad thing that happens sometimes. That's when we get to the idea of that we identify more, you know, with our group that we follow. See, some Christians identify more with their denomination than they do Jesus. You know, I'm non-denominational. We can do the same thing sometimes. But, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm Catholic, I'm Baptist, I'm this, I'm that. You know, and, well, number one, we're supposed to be Christian. Amen. It's okay that you are part of something else, and we should be a part of something. You know, we should be a part of a local church. I mean, that's where God wants us to come into and to start to use the gifts and talents that he's put inside our life. But yet, for the most part, you know, I did not die for you. River Life did not die for you. So we might identify with what happens when we're baptized into the body of Christ. That's really what it's all about. We focus on Jesus Christ and everything that he's done for us. See, the reason that we're saved is we're saved by grace through faith. And see, if baptism could save us, people would just get dipped without having to use their faith. And that's, you know, sadly, that's what happens to some. They get some people in, and you know, we do this, you know, can do the same thing. You know, sometimes, you know, you go up and talk to somebody, you want to ask Jesus in your heart, and they say, sure. They pray some little doodad prayer, and they're no different than they were when they came, or when they left and when they came. They didn't, nothing really happened. Their faith wasn't energized. There was nothing that really changed because in their heart they didn't want to. See, the key of what Jesus Christ wants for our life, he wants to get a hold of our heart. And if he doesn't have a hold of our heart, all we have is religion. And see, that's why we need to properly come to Christ and want to release our faith to glorify him. Amen. See, some people believe in the Jesus plus method, right? Jesus plus what I can do makes me okay for God. See, it's not that. It's only Jesus. It's only what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It's only that he extends grace to us. And I've explained this many times, and I'm going to do it again. See, grace is God's extension. He's reaching out to you right now. He's wanting to give you grace. And that grace is hanging. Have you ever left somebody hanging, or somebody left you hanging? You know, you stretched your hand out to them, nothing. They didn't reach back at all. It's kind of a snub, isn't it? But see, God is reaching out grace that we have to do by faith. We reach back and we take that. We take that from God because it's a free gift. But we have to do it by faith. We have to receive it because you can't see, you know, it's not by what you see. We walk by faith and not by sight. So we reach out and we grab that, what God wants to give for us, give to us. And then we can start to walk in a greater level of power and authority, you know, when we start to do it God's way. See, the truth is that we can make it to heaven without being water baptized, you know. And I know how important it is that we are water baptized. We're going to go on that now. But see, what happens when we're not water baptized is that we'll be missing out on one of the greatest weapons that we have against the devil. And believe me, it is. It's not. It's more than just getting dipped underwater. You know, I know some people have a fear of water. Some people think that they don't want, you know, your makeup may not look pretty after you come out of the water. I hear they got waterproof makeup. I don't know. You know, you can get some of that if it's important. But see, you know, God is more concerned about our deliverance than our dignity. Amen? Amen. So if we can humble ourselves. Now, we're going to look at the point of why. Why should we be baptized? And what benefit is it for you? Number one, we're going to look at a scripture, Matthew 28:19. You know, Jesus, you know, when he was leaving, you know, he wanted to leave something with his church, with his followers, that was very important. You know, have you ever said goodbye to somebody? Maybe your kids. I just said goodbye to my three. They're all going down to Tulsa today. I mean, two of them live there, one temporarily, and the other just wants to go down there. And, you know, sometimes when you say goodbye to somebody, you want to leave them with something important that they don't forget. You know what I'm saying? You know, that they don't forget. And this is one thing that Jesus left the followers. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. That means the whole world. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. So we get the disciples part. We try to get people to come. We try to teach them the Bible. Want them to understand a little bit about God's Word and how it works and how you can have a relationship with God and how important it is. But it also says right here that he sent them to baptize. So there must be something important about water baptism. Number one, like I said earlier, Jesus was water baptized himself. I don't know about you, but when the higher allows the lower to baptize him, that shows us a principle. I mean, here Jesus, the Son of God, came down as a man, emptied himself as a divine authority, and then here John the Baptist, I mean, he wasn't in town baptizing, he was out in the country. See, in town, the priests ruled the roost. They didn't want none of this, you know, come to God stuff, you know, you got to come through the church to get to God. And John the Baptist, well, he was working for God there. And he came out and he tried to get people to repent. People had fallen away from God. They'd gotten into religion. And so he wanted them to repent. So he's preaching a hard message, but still people were coming. Because they're hungry. They're hungry for God. They didn't want to have their ears tickled. They wanted to get right with God. And so that's what was happening. And all of a sudden, here Jesus, which was his cousin, technically, you know, sort of, in a way, and came out and he allowed himself to be immersed in water. And when Jesus came up out of the water, the dove fell. The Holy Ghost came upon him. Amen?
Amen.
That's good stuff right there. You got to just, you know, you got to think about that a minute. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and anointed his ministry. Now, we don't have to wait for that to get the Holy Ghost. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying there's a time where you can have a release your faith and to be able to believe God for something great to happen in your life. Number two, why we are water baptized. Now, this may floor you. Jesus said so. You know, just simple as that. Jesus said to be baptized. You know, and I don't know about you, but you know, that's kind of an important thing. When Jesus tells us to do something, we have two choices. Everybody has two choices. Number one, I want to ask you a question. What does it mean if we willfully choose not to follow one of Jesus' orders? Think about that for a minute. If you know that you're supposed to do something, and then all of a sudden Jesus tells you to, you know, he tells you to do it, then you say, don't want to. That's what we're saying. If we choose not to be water baptized. I'd be a good salesman, wouldn't I, a little bit? I don't know. But I mean, Jesus tells you got to be baptized. I want you to be baptized. There's a reason. But then on the same note, what does it mean if we willfully choose to follow one of Jesus' orders? Well, there comes the blessing. You know what I mean? There comes the blessing. It opens a door in our life. And what I think is, you know, as a Christian, you know, you and I are to fear God, not be afraid of him, you know, but we honor and reverence him. That's important. And that's, we always got to remember that. Now, just if you choose not to be water baptized, God's not going to be mad at you. He's not going to kick you to the curb. You're not going to have to eat leftovers and all that stuff or sit at the kiddie table when we get up there, you know what I mean, at the great feast. You know, here's all us baptized people sitting at the good table and then the ones who refuse that they're over the kiddie table. No, that's not how it works, you know. At least I don't think so, but I don't know. I ain't been there yet. But, you know, we just need to honor and reverence him. You know, we're not going to understand sometimes everything that God asks us to do, but we just need to follow him in obedience, no matter what it is. And, you know, I mean, the reason I'm saying some of this, I've run across a lot of people and, you know, my over 30-some years of ministry, you know, I've had a lot of conversations about people, like the one where people have said, well, I was baptized as a kid, but I don't remember it. I didn't understand it. I just did it because, you know, I knew it would make my parents happy and I want to be a part of the gang, you know. You know, that's one thing. Well, you know, so I've had that conversation. Then I've had, you know, other conversations with people that, well, I really don't like to get wet. You know, I don't like water. I mean, I don't know. So I, you know, try to coax them past that. I mean, so there's a lot of reasons. But believe me, you know, if we do something in obedience to God that we're uncomfortable with, God's going to give his grace to us, and he's going to help us through that, and it's going to be powerful. You know, so to me, you know, it's kind of an obedience issue. Obedience, okay? Now, I remember, some of you may remember Jenny Myers. That was Ted's mom, and she was up in her 90s, and she wanted to be water baptized, and she couldn't really walk very good. And so, just kind of thinking about that for a minute, you know what I mean? What are we going to do here? You know, because we usually go down, we was back then going down to the lake, and you know, you got to, you know, I knew she couldn't walk in the sand very good and all that. Well, then God opened the door. We had some connections back then with the local Albia pool here. So we just set it up with them, and we was able to wheel her in through the gate, down through the low end, and we came out till it got about right. And then Jenny stood up, and I baptized her, put her back in the wheelchair, wheeled her out. But that meant a lot to that 90-some-year-old woman. She wanted to be baptized, and I was not going to tell her we couldn't. Amen?
Thank you.
You know, God made a way for that. And, you know, that was important. And as I mentioned before, you know, the idea of it's just a public expression of our faith is what it is too, and we need to release our faith to the whole world. See, water baptism is expression that we're going public with our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're telling everybody that we want to follow him. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a big decision in cultures. And, you know, my wife and I, we did a 6-month stint in Greece. I'd been there many times, but after we got married and, you know, we graduated Bible school and we felt God, we stayed, you know, in the States for a little bit, but we really felt God was wanting us to try something different. At least one of us was. I can't remember what it was, but anyway. So we were going to decided to go to Greece. I'd been there several times, and we lived there for 6 months. And one of the outreaches we did, we went out to the island of Kos, and For whatever reason, coming in from that beach, the waves were about 6 foot tall. I'm 5'8", you know what I'm saying? You know, so I'm going out there, and you know, maybe I was 5'9 back then. At least I lied a little bit. I put that on my driver's license. I don't really think I was 5'9". But anyway, went out there, and it was like self-baptism, you know? The big wave had come by, and wham, you know? But they did that, and they were a young couple in Greece, and they told us that, you know, if our, you know, our parents are going to disown us now because they were leaving the Greek Orthodox Church, and they wanted to follow Christ that way. And so they knew by that decision. Because it's amazing, I mean, if you've done a little bit of evangelism, you kind of have an inkling of who might want to get saved. I mean, to me, I never had an inkling these two really wanted it. You know, they look kind of, I don't want to say hipster, kind of party type, you know. They just looked like they were enjoying life, and all of a sudden we started witnessing to them, and they wanted to give their lives to Christ. So we went out and we water baptized them. You know, it was a big thing for them. And they were actually, you know, their family might disown them. That's what happens. You know, in cultures with us, you know, we don't struggle like that, at least yet in our culture. So it should be a big decision, you know, of our culture. When we become a Christian, it's like coming from nothingness into somethingness. And that's what I think it is. We're nobody without Christ. But when we come to Him, it's that decision. So I want to share a little bit now, a little bit about the benefits of water baptism. 1 Peter 3:21 says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, now, some of us have had a lot of miles on our mind, ain't we? Our mind has went to a lot of places, some of them not good, you know, and the idea of dealing with our conscience, you know, it's a powerful thing because, you know, this is where the enemy attacks us. See, Satan's main access point to our life is through our mind, okay? And if he can get you thinking about and holding you in that holding pattern of what kind of person you were, whatever kind of sin that you were involved in, and make you consistently identify with that, and that you're no good, you're never going to make it, and you know. And I thank God for our church. We don't have a snooty church, in my opinion. I've been in some snooty places in my day. You know what I mean? Where people kind of stick their nose up at you and think they're better than you. We don't have any of that going on here. You know, and I'm very proud of that. You know, as a pastor. But you know, the idea of what we've done. I don't follow each of you home. And know everything that's going on in your life. I don't know what happened to you earlier in your life, but I do know the devil will try to twist and turn some of those lies in our mind. And so we get delivered through the Word of God, through the Word of God being preached to our mind. If we pay attention, you're going to start getting that stuff in there. It's going to start setting you free, and all that stuff's going to be working. But also, sometimes there's some strongholds. I remember, I've been involved, I don't want to go into everything, but I've done some stupid things. I mean, I was into the party scene pretty hard, all that. Also kind of, I don't know how I got into this, I've shared this before, I got into transcendental meditation before I left Iowa and went to Denver. I was involved in that. A little bit. So I invited some strongholds into my life, some demonic spirits that were attacking me in my mind. And I remember, you know, how hard it was sometimes to get the deliverance from the devil, because he don't want to let go. I mean, I wasn't walking around Satan possessed or nothing weird like that, you know, but I do know the fact that where he was attacking me, and it just kept coming, and I do know that water baptism did play a vital part in my walk with God to help me to really picture my deliverance, because sometimes if we can see ourselves in a situation, it helps us to hold on to it a little bit better. You know what I mean? You know, there's textbook faith, and that's all good. Your faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of Christ. But there also comes a time when you got to really, you know, start to live it, be a doer of the Word, and you start to see that. All of a sudden, it just comes alive. And it's very powerful. And that's what water baptism does, because it helps close the door where Satan tries to get us into doubt our salvation or our deliverance from sins that were holding us in bondage before. We have to let go of those. We have to get those out of our life. To me, it's really useless to lock the front door of our life and leave the back door wide open. And that's what we do sometimes as a Christian. You know, we just leave that back door open and just let anything come in, you know. And what I see from water baptism, it helps to free us from the old life. It's a great opportunity to, you know, testify to the world about our faith, a public declaration. You know, we're telling the whole world that I'm a follower of Christ, and I don't make people talk. you know. But I encourage you to say a little something, you know, before you're baptized. You know, a lot of times they'll give you a chance to give a little testimony. It can just be something as simple as, I want to thank Jesus Christ for saving my life, and I want to testify to the world that I'm a follower right now. Just something very simple. You don't have to go into a lot of stuff, or maybe you want to share a few things. But it's your opportunity to glorify Christ. Now, I don't want to let the fact that you maybe need to say something scare you out of water baptism. We won't make you do that. But I encourage you. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to... on the devil. You know what I'm saying? That's as simple as that. You know, you're going to tell everybody, hey, I'm a Christian. Satan, you can't have me no more.
There you go.
I'm in a relationship. Amen. I'm in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm not a two-timer. Praise God. Amen. I'm not a two-timer. You know, I'm with this with Jesus. Also, it's obedience and baptism. It just strengthens our faith. So that leads me to my another scripture here. I think it's my last one. Romans 6, verses 3 to 7. You can really meditate on this a little bit. You need to kind of, if you're going to be baptized or if you have been baptized, it'll renew it. It's kind of like when you renew your wedding vows, you know. It says here, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Think about that for a minute. See, that's us using our faith to see that when we're baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death. You say, well, that don't sound fun. Well, the death was death to sin. Amen? So now that looks a little different, doesn't it? It helps us see, you know, the power that we have that there. And it says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, to the glory of God the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. See? Death, resurrection. Death, resurrection. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, surely we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. There you go. In order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Okay, there we see. Very powerful picture right there in your mind, it should be, about what happens that, you know, we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and that he rose again from the dead. Well, here we see through it that through baptism, like when we, it's an outward sign of an inward work, that when we're baptized, we're put under the water, that's a symbol of our death. We died to sin. And then when you come up out of the life, it's a picture of that new life, the new life of Christ inside of you. It's there already anyway, you know, but it's just us acting it out symbolically so that we can really get it down in our mind, because our conscience needs to be straightened out where we can understand all that. So it's an outward sign of an inward work. And like we always say, water baptism is a picture of that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, I usually don't quote a pirate very much, but today I am. I like the old saying, dead men tell no tales. Amen? So when you die to sin, that dead man... I know what they did is whoever knew where the treasure was, they killed them so they couldn't go get the treasure, you know. They couldn't tell where it's at. But see, that's what we got to see our old man as, is dead. Old man, if it's dead, it can't speak into your ear anymore saying, hey, you know, I want to go do this, or I want to do that. I want to drink this. I want to smoke that. I want to, you know, do all these things. But see, if it's dead, it has no power over you anymore. So when we rise up, you know, it's a symbol of that resurrection life that's inside of us, and we want that to be released. So I see that as water baptism is a weapon in our arsenal against the devil. Because you can always remember back, like me, I can remember back to that night, that Sunday night when I was baptized, and I testified, you know, because, and I'll be honest, I don't mean this as a brag or anything, but I don't have any problem with my old life, and I really never did after I gave my life to Christ, and I could identify with that death and dying to that. For some reason, I just got victory over that. So I never had a taste to want to go out and do those old things again for whatever reason. You know, I've had other struggles in my life, but that was not one of them. You know, and I know there's power through Jesus Christ that you and I can overcome those things. God does not want us to have to bow our knee to any other thing than our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and so we need to try to tap in you know, to everything that it has for us. And that's what, you know, water baptism is, that authority. And it helps us to make a deeper commitment to God and to break Satan's power in our life, you know. So to me, it's a connect point and a release point. It's a place where we can connect to God in a deeper way as we follow Him in obedience. You know, God, I follow You and I do this. And at that same time, we can release our faith that we come up out of the water, we'll never be the same. That we have authority over the things of this world that try to hold us back. It's a very spiritual experience, something that you do just between you and God, but yet you're doing it and for the world to see, to say, yes, I'm a follower of Christ. So water baptism tells our testimony to the world. I died to sin, and now I have risen to the newness of life in Christ Jesus inside of me. That's really what we're wanting to do. So I want to challenge us because, you know, to me, it's not an issue of should I be water baptized by immersion, but when can I be water baptized by immersion? Amen? And I want to give us that opportunity. So, you know, it's a very needed thing in our life. Like I say, you can still go to heaven without it, you know. But, you know, it's one of those things that God says, hey, you know, I want you to do this. I want you to follow me in obedience. And it's just another chapter in our life that, you know, we need to write, that we need to get, you know, where we say, you know, get an opportunity to share this with the whole world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.